Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, and alongside me for the next couple of days is big Steve Harmison. With Jared otherwise engaged, Steve and I looking back at day two of the second test between England and West Indies. We'll be talking slow hundreds, bowling to second slip and expensive spinners. You're listening to the Following On podcast. Well, by now you'll know that England made 469 for 9, declared just before 6 o'clock. Ben Stokes top scoring with 176, Dom Sibley making 120, and the two combining for a fourth wicket partnership of 260. It took some time though, and despite the Old Trafford track offering spin and swing, that pitch is it's also quite slow. West Indies, when they batted, they lost John Campbell, and if Sam Curran had forced the issue and been a little bit more persuasive when he asked Joe Root to review an LBW shout against Elzari Joseph, well, he'd have walked off the pitch with two wickets. Still plenty to play for, though, and plenty to chat about. So let's get going.
Story of the day.
Well, as mentioned yesterday, Jared isn't looking back at day two of the second test match. It's myself and Harmy. Looking very, very slim as well. All that golf and no drinking has definitely done you the power of good. You've got a bit of sun to you as well. I didn't even think it was sunny up north.
It is. Well, it is on the coast anyway. It's just reflecting off the North Sea. It's still cold, but there's a little bit of sun there. I have lost a little bit of weight, but you know, I think opening batsman for England, he looks as though he's lost a little bit of weight and he's found a bit of form, because that was a fantastic innings by Dom Sibley.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with Dom Sibley, actually, because Ben Stokes top scored. He'll get a lot of the plaudits. We'll talk about him. But, you know, there were some questions about Dom Sibley when he made his debut. We were in South Africa. And let's be honest, there were a few very wise heads who thought that maybe he would struggle because he would just get so bogged down. Scoring would become such a problem that in the end, it may not work for him. But two test centuries in eight tests, one home, one away. He's eating up deliveries. Yeah, there's some weaknesses there and it's not particularly pleasant to watch. But it does seem like England have got a good one there.
They have, yeah. And they say there's a lot of questions in the winter. And there's still questions, probably still questions now on how he's going to sort of score runs and score runs at a quicker rate. But that comes easier with the education of the game of cricket at test match level. Now, you look at all the players that come and partnered Alistair Cook, and the one thing they struggled to do was get a second 100. You know, quite a few of them got the first 100, they couldn't get the second 100. Now, once you get that second 100, or you're educating yourself in the game of test match cricket in the cauldron, you know there's not a crowd there. But it's a lot easier to do it with runs under your belt rather than having 40s to 60s. There's always a question mark. There's always somebody on your shoulder saying, well, he hasn't got that 100, he hasn't got that second 100. Now, Dominic Sibley can just relax a little bit more and get himself in a position to now educate himself in the game as his career develops, because he's got 200s, eight test matches. He was magnificent today. England needed him to bat for such a long time. And I've mentioned a name there, Sir Alistair Cook. Now, Sir Alistair Cook played 160 odd test matches, batted very much like Dominic Sibley. You know, he's very, very limited in the scoring areas, but he was good in the scoring. He was magnificent. Cookie was brilliant in the scoring areas, which he was good at, which was the tuck into square leg, you know, the cut and pull. You know, these were the shots that Alistair Cook had, but he had the mental, so greatness about him was the mental strength to just eat up balls and let the bowler come to him. Dominic Sibley's just proved that he's got a start in his career and start with a chance. If he does that, all these question marks that England had during that first test match, if Dominic Sibley is consistently batting between 150 and 250 balls, it's given England a better chance to nullify the bowlers, get to the second new ball when the bowlers are tired, and the likes of Stokes and the Butlers and the World coming down the order who can really explode and get England to a match winning score. And I think that's the art and the beauty of how Dominic Sibley crafted his innings today. And I think the more he can do that with probably Rory Burns at the top of the order, Zach Crawley, who's a little bit more dynamic and a little bit more proactive and a little bit more, I think, nimble on his feet when it comes to scoring, I think that top three there has a better chance than having Denley in there with Burns and Sibley not being able to score. I know Crawley didn't get any runs, but we've seen at Southampton, the kid scores runs, and he scores runs in a decent lick against a new ball. So positive signs for England. And then if you set a game up for Stokes to go and explode bowling tired bowlers, and the situation. I think there's a lot being talked about Ben Stokes today. Talked about his batting, saying he's now England's probably best batsman. I think Ben Stokes' biggest characteristic at this moment in time is the way he develops his sort of mindset of where the game situation is. He does that with the ball very, very well. When England are on the cusp of needing something to happen, he gets the crowd going, he gets a wicket, but he does that with a bat as well. And I thought he did that today. He went through the gears so well, and he gave England a chance, and are largely down to the concrete foundation that Dominic simply gave England.
Apologies, as trains will go past if you're picking them up where you are. I live just overlooking a train track. So, for any train enthusiasts, don't go anywhere for the next 15, 20 minutes or so. I thought that was it's a great point, because Stokes got in and got out at the Aegeus Bowl. England were 240 odd for three when he got out, Stokes, in second innings. And that led to a collapse, and there were some murmurings that maybe England should have accelerated a little bit earlier today. But that was very much in Stokes' mind. You could almost see that when he reached three figures. And then when the game got to a position where he felt that they did need to kick on, he's got that ability, hasn't he? And Sibley, you could see, was struggling to click through the gears and hold out in the end. Masterful from Stokes. And, he joins a list of only five players, I think, and second Englishman, alongside Sir Ian Botham, who's scored 10 test centuries and taken 150 test wickets, alongside Jack Callis, Garfield Sobers, and Ravi Shastri. There might be one other. But either way, I mean, that's phenomenal. And he's only going to score more centuries, isn't he? So
I think it's just a game awareness, John. I think that's the biggest thing that I think we've all said Ben Stokes is getting better and better as a match winner, as a leader. We've seen him captain last week, and I think he will captain England again. But I think it's his match awareness and when he needs to go through gears, when he needs to, the way he develops his understanding of what the game needs at a certain time for his team to go to the next stage of the game, or to put themselves in a match winning position, then I think that's where Ben Stokes is getting better and better. And today was a game that was, a talk of 200. He wasn't thinking of 200 himself. He was thinking about, how do I get my team in a match winning situation, a match winning position? Because he knew the bowlers were tired, and he knew he had Josh Butler, Ollie Pogue, Josh Butler, Sam Curran, or Chris Wokes, all these explosive batters, bowling all-rounders, batting all-rounders that can come in and score runs. So for me, I can't speak highly, and you know how I feel about Ben, but I think a lot of it comes down to the game plan of England's start, and England's, it all, the ducks were in the right row today, as opposed to being at Southampton, where just simply having the captain back just seemed to have a little calming influence, possibly on a dressing room. They might have been a little bit rudderless at Southampton, not understanding new captain hasn't had a game. Nobody in the top sort of, only one player in the top seven, were 50 test matches. All these things there, I think that, and not having any cricket behind you, came at Southampton. Today, just having Joe back probably helped over the course of the last 2 or 3 days getting into the test match. And obviously, the game, the test match set up so far. So it's going to be intriguing to see where it goes from here, though.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because it was a bit strange. Day one, only 3 wickets, but the ball was swinging all day and it was spinning. There's a bit of moisture in the pitch. And again, on day two, it swung. Sam Curran got swing towards the end of the day as well. Roston Chase got spin and, took 8 wickets without spinning a ball in Barbados. But at the same time, it seemed very sluggish. But then it was still bouncing a fair amount as well. So, I mean, how do you read the pitch? How do you think that the pitch will change as this test match goes on?
I actually think the pitch is not a bad cricket pitch for test match cricket. There's a bit there for the ball. You have Dom Sibley, Ben Stokes have showed you, if you're willing to work hard, not get too disappointed if you play and miss it a few, because that's going to happen. And I think they did that brilliantly, because I thought some of the West Indies bowling at times was decent. It was good. But the ability to stay sort of focused and, play each ball as a cliche says, on its merits, let the ball go, let the bowler come to you. There wasn't exactly fast scoring because there's been no cricket, so there's no pitches that have been played on side by side. So what you normally get at Old Trafford is you get, because it's such a hard surface and it breaks up, when you play in the test matches, which is normally in the middle of summer to the back end of summer, you've got wickets either side where the ball will fly across and it goes for four if it's square of the wicket. You can also throw the ball in. You can start getting the ball roughed up and it will reverse swing. That didn't happen. But because all these pitches are lush and the grout field's lush, the ball is staying pristine. It's staying perfect. I don't think this saliva stuff has had any detriment to the game. So because the outfields now are lush and there's no sort of dry and dusty areas, the ball is staying nice. It's staying with its nice shine on and they'll be able to swing it. So I think it's more upstairs than downstairs. I think upstairs, if the cloud comes over and it's heavy, a bit like Lords and Henley, when it's heavy cloud, it does swing and it does nip about a bit. We haven't really seen a sunshining day, and I don't think we're going to get one tomorrow either. I think there's weather forecast around tomorrow, which will be good for England. So England are well in the game. It sounds crazy, but even if England lose 50 overs tomorrow because it rains, I still think England are in a better position. Because it takes West Indies out of the test match, as in a winning possibility. And it gives the captain no option other than, well, we're going to have to bowl for 2 more days. We're going to have to bowl these out twice. We can't sort of go and have a bat again. We have to enforce the follow-on and we have to go again. And I think England are probably in that sort of position if they want to win the test match. So even if they lose time tomorrow, I still think there's enough in the wicket. There's always something in the heavens around Manchester. So the ball will swing and the ball will nip about a bit. And I think England have got a great chance. They've got fresh bowlers. So I think England have played the situation and the conditions well. And that's why they're well ahead in the test match.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Moment of the day.
Homie, your name did come up in commentary on occasion today, as it did yesterday. You probably know why. Shannon Gabriel, I mean, I was talking about this to Jared after day one. The guy's just put in a man-of-the-match display in the first test match. We know that he had injury concerns for a large period of the last year, actually. It looks like a massive mistake to have played him in this test match, although on occasion he did bowl some beautiful deliveries and some decent spells, but his radar was absolutely all over the place at times, and it was quite painful to watch, wasn't it? I mean, you've been there, slightly different reasons. I don't think in this occasion it was nerves so much, but actually did have a bit of a sheepish grin on his face at times. He was obviously a little bit embarrassed about what was going on.
Yeah, he will be. There will be nerves. I guarantee it will be nerves, as well as because his body's stiff. He's 6'5". I know what it's like. In fact, he's not. He's bigger than that. He's taller than me. When you haven't had a lot of bowling in you, it takes you a while to get going. Me personally, speaking from experience, it used to take me. I used to try and bowl a load. I was terrible in the gym. All my teammates will back me up on this and say, I was the last to go to the gym. I couldn't go to the gym for love nor money. I hated the gym. I'd bowl for an hour, 2 hours at a time and just constantly bowl, because that was the only thing that would, one, get me fit. Two, because I needed to bowl a lot, it got me radar in a better position and it got me upright. You know, I'm from sort of week one of bowling where I lose my left side, I come out, come down the side, ball comes off your sort of third finger, And it sort of goes down the leg side a lot, to maybe it's week two, week three, to getting your bolt upright, muscles on your left-hand side strong, so you can drive through and pull through and get the seam upright and get your hand and your wrist behind the ball. What does that do? Gives you confidence. When you've got confidence, it feels like you can do whatever you want. The minute it starts going, all of a sudden you start doubting. You start doubting on your left side. Am I pulling my left side through? The minute you stop pulling your left side through, you think, my wrist, my shoulder, is it coming off my wrist? Is it coming off my third finger? All of a sudden, them doubts go, and you only have to be a small part of it out, and you'll see what happened with Shannon. You see what happened with me in Brisbane. So if you haven't got that rhythm behind you, if you don't feel confident enough as your wrist right behind the ball and you're letting things go, then that's the first part. The second part, when you bowl at 90 miles an hour, wicketkeeper is a hell of a long way back. And when you are 6'6", he's even further back. So by the time it goes past the batsman, and I'm not talking about the one that went the second slip, for myself or for what Shannon did, but the one that goes down leg side, or the one that goes down the offside, if the wicketkeeper is that far back even further, so from Hoggard, he'd be 15 yards back. For me, for Flintoff, he'd be 22 yards back. That seven or 8 yards makes a difference on where trajectory the ball is going. So if you think the angle it goes past the bat, it might be a little bit wide. It looks awful by the time it gets to the wicketkeeper because it's bounced in front of first slip and it's just dribbled. There's no real pace on it. So I can understand where Shannon's at this moment in time. And what happens, the biggest thing that you start doing, and this is one of the reasons I think Stephen Finn finished at national level, because I think I know for a fact, speaking from experience, I'm not hide from the fact, I'll be honest, you're frightened to let go of the ball. You get to the top and you don't want to let go of it. And the minute you don't want to let go of it, that split sticking comes in, then the old Spanish waiter on your shoulders telling you you're not in the right place, and it goes horribly wrong down the other end. And I think that's where Shannon has been in this test match. Because his body's stiff and sore and he's letting himself down, because he hasn't got the volume of maybe 100 overs under his belt in either practice or in game time, then this is where we're at. He bowled magnificent at Southampton, but unfortunately, it's probably a little bit of a bridge too far. And I thought an experienced bowling coach or an experienced coach would have seen that and thought, you know what, he needs to come out. And but you just get nine wickets and got man a match. If Phil Simmons had said to me, I would have said, no, up yours, I'm playing. I've got these on toast. So it's you can see the argument that's come from. I can understand what he's done and how he's done it. And it's embarrassing. Yeah, it is embarrassing when it happens. But you've got to pick yourself up and you move on to the next year, which I think he did. He did reasonably well. To be fair, he kept going. He kept going. He could have easily just gone off. Were you talking about moment of the day? For me, the moment of the day was Dom Sibley's reaching his second 100 in Test match cricket, because now I hope Dom Sibley is sitting in his hotel room at Old Trafford, eating whatever nice food he's eating, thinking, I belong at Test match level, because he should do. And if he does that, the amount of confidence he's going to get from that, for me, is that that means England can tick off a box, which is one of the, you know, in the not sure list. Now I think Sibley and Burns at the top of the order are going to be a potential. I think they're going to be a potential opening partnership for a while. So, you know, that's good for England. Good for the middle order if they've got eaten up balls. It takes a bit of pressure off Josh Butler if England are so determined to keep him in the team, because the top order are giving them a chance. So the moment of the day for me is the run that Dom Sibley got to his second century.
Yeah, I'll go with that. That's what I wrote down as well. You know, one of my favourite moments actually from our trip to South Africa came after that famous day at Cape Town, last day, and got back to the hotel. We were staying in the same hotel as the England players, and I got into the lift just as Dominic Sibley got into the lift himself. He'd had one or two. He was absolutely fine, steady on his feet. I just said, oh, well done. And I said, you know, I work for TalkSport and I'll send you the commentary from your, you know, the radio commentary from your highlight, you know, the highlights of your innings if you want. Mm. And his face just lit up. He was just so, you can tell he was so happy, as you would be. I mean, I'm sure you felt the same when you got your first five for England, or when you got your first, you know, had your first success for England. So, yeah, I mean, two centuries and a 50 in the first eight test matches. Well played, Dom Sibley.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
OK, Harmy, well, you've kind of covered it a little bit, but it's at this point of the day that we basically guess and suggest what could happen. Not what should happen, not what happen if England bowl well or if West Indies bats nicely. Where do you think the game would be come stumps on day three, albeit... we do have to consider that the weather may play a factor, but we can even forecast that as well. Where do you see the game going?
Yeah, I think obviously the weather forecast, the players can't do anything about that. The only person that should have any concern with the weather forecast is the captain, because he is then going to dictate where the game goes and how fast he wants the game to go. If it's a full day's play, no question, I think England's bowling resources has enough to have England in a position to win the test match on day four. If we do have a lot of rain, then, like I said before, I think it still helps England, because then it takes the follow-on question whether you bat or you bowl, you just bowl and you get on with it. The one thing I would say, what England have got with the test match, for the rest of the test match, the ball's turning. And actually, England's biggest turner of a cricket ball is Joe Root. So Joe Root could actually play a big part taking ninth in the 19 wickets to come, because him and Bess, potentially England will have to make them follow on because of the weather. So Joe Root could actually play a massive part, not only as captain and trying to dictate the way the game is going, but also with his ball, because he does turn the ball. And we've seen, you mentioned Rosten Chase, he's not a big spinner of a ball. He had this thing turning square. Bess is not a massive turner of a ball, but Joe does get the ball to turn. So if they can get the ball to turn, it takes a little bit of pressure off the seam bowlers, gives them a little bit more of a rest, and it can come with a, you know, short, sharp burst each time, and really put the West Indian batsmen under pressure. Because as much as I was critical of the England batsmen in the first test match, being sort of being inexperienced and weak, and you know, not having the know-how on the test match level. I can't see the West Indies batting as good as what they did at Southampton. I still think there's a lot of flaws in the West Indies batting unit. So I think if that does happen, there is a little bit of rain around. I still think England can win this test match comfortably. Where do I see the end of day three? I can see possibly England losing 40-odd overs and having the West Indies about 7 down tomorrow night.
Brilliant stuff. Harmy, I love it. You tell it how it is, and brilliant insight as well. Look forward to seeing if you're right this time tomorrow. And hopefully you're wrong about the weather. I never believe the weather forecast, so I'm going to approach day three with sunny optimism.
It's Manchester.
I know. It's been pretty dreary for the last couple of days. Mate, lovely to see you. And we'll touch base again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Following On Podcast. I know there's a lot of choices out there, so for you to listen to our podcast is well, it means a lot to everyone. And you can listen to it on Acast, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. But for now, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.